much you want to bet?
I don't bet.
What do you mean you don't bet?
I mean, I don't bet. You know, I don't care. I don't. I never have, and I never will.
Yeah, right.
I'll bet you $20 I can get you gambling before the end of the day.
No way.
I'll give you 3-1 odds.
Nope.
5-1.
Nope.
10-1.
You're on.
It is with bittersweet airs around here that we're wrapping up the Bet the Board podcast, the inaugural season of your first stop for all things NFL sports betting. We'll be joined in just a matter of seconds by Payne Insider. And the biggest surprise of all, we have a special guest to help us break down all the prop bets that are available for your betting pleasure this particular week. And Payne, we've kind of had 2 weeks to digest this matchup between New England and Seattle. You've had all the off-field drama. You've seen a ton of money come in on the Patriots. You've seen this number move. Where do we even begin to start our handicap of this showdown coming up on Sunday?
Well, the best way to begin this is that our Bet the Board dollars are freaking ripe, and you're shooting this live from the Super Bowl. So we were able to throw that in the mix a little bit, and it's a positive note that you're able to do this podcast. You weren't in the prostitute sting that went on this morning. So all is well for our listeners. So I think that's the first thing to touch on. As for all the stuff that went down last week, Deflategate, not even worth really mentioning in my book. I think we're far removed from that, thank God. We can really focus on this game in this matchup, and there's a lot of good talking points, whether it be the side or total, and hopefully we can shed some light on the Super Bowl, how to bet it properly, whether it is the side or total, talk about a little bit of the line movement, talk about some things that this Super Bowl and all Super Bowls in general are specific to a certain way to betting as opposed to a regular season game. So it doesn't matter where we want to start. If we want to start on the side, does that work for you, Todd?
Yeah, I think let's talk about the number and how we got there. But also, for those new listeners to the Bet the Board podcast, you can follow Payne on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. And more importantly, where the hell have you been all season long, losing the opportunity to make some money? But Payne, that's what we're here for. And let's start with the number. Seattle opened as a 2.5-point favorite at Pinnacle. We've seen this number go all the way to 1 the other way, even as high as 2 at some recreational books. Like we said, we're going to talk to someone who works for a very prominent offshore shop later in the podcast. But where do we even begin to go? Maybe starting with power rating and how it's changed off of 1 week's result. Did bookmakers get it right? Did they get it wrong? I'll let you take the floor and go any which direction you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about this line, it was very interesting. We saw look-ahead lines. We've seen them for a while now. We've seen AFC versus NFC, and we've seen those numbers as high as NFC -3, you know, -2. So Pinnacle hit the market, opened 2. It didn't last there long, went up to 2.5, went to as high as 3. Lasted there under 2 hours or so, and more so what we saw was the halftime score of the Patriots leading 17-7. It seemed like with every single score that the Patriots had in the second half, this number would tick down a little further. And I'd say by the time the night settled and the next morning kind of took shape, you were looking at basically a pick'em across the board. Not a huge movement from that time to where we're looking at now. I'd say we're looking at a consensus of the Patriots about a 1-point favorite. So I think that's kind of key to look into this line. Not a ton of line value for me. I have Seattle a slight favorite on a neutral field. I know a lot of people like to include home field advantage. Seattle playing in Arizona, familiar with the territory. I think that could possibly apply if it were another team, not the Patriots, not Brady Belichick, not a team that's familiar with the Super Bowl. So I think you can kind of throw that out there. My number in this game is Seattle -0.45, so about a 0.5-point favorite as it stands right now. And then, you know, there's obviously some other elements we can get into.
No, I will say Seattle, if they wanted this to feel like a home game, has done one hell of a job. The heavens have opened up each of the last few days. Rain expected in the forecast, but by all accounts, you see enough jerseys for both the Patriots and Seahawks that I'm not going to say that there will be a well-defined home field advantage, at least in the aspect of the crowds that will be in attendance for it. But you talk about the number in Seattle, a short favorite. This game offers some different betting opportunities for the professionals that are able to get much larger limits than they would on a regular season game. And, of course, we're going to hear rumblings about some of the biggest betting groups out there. We've seen the major media outlets report six-figure bets coming in on the Patriots. Now, you never know 10 days before the game if that's just to get the momentum started. You have a chance to take the Patriots plus one, plus one and a half. Maybe then come over the top with the Seahawks at even money to try and figure out an arbitrage scenario where you can let your money work for you. But I'll let you talk a little bit more about that and some of the potential scenarios we could see play out in the market over the next 72 hours leading up to kickoff.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's always important, and that's my big thing when we've done this podcast is one thing to report information. It's another thing to kind of know the intent of the information. And right now, I don't think there's a clear defined intent on exactly what the sharp position will be come game day. I do know that if you're sitting there and you're able to get $100,000 down on this game on Monday at Cantor or whatever property it is, and you can lock in the Patriots plus 110 or plus 105, knowing where the market's going to head, knowing that the public, all they're going to have to do in this game is pick the winner, essentially, and you have Brady and Belichick who looked like $1,000, and you have a Seattle team that really struggled, you're going to see the public gravitate towards New England. And the thought process there is you're going to be able to scalp back Seattle plus 100, plus 105, plus 110, and if you're getting down 100,000, you're going to be able to sit back on the couch and collect 5 or 10 grand without a sweat. So that's what you've seen from some of those big bets to this date. Now, it'll be interesting to see what the true intent is moving forward. There's been bookmakers that have said, you know what, we could see something similar to what we saw last year where New England is in that 2.5 range come Sunday when the public fully gets involved. And you might see some of the professionals come in and buy to 3. Do we get there? Personally speaking, I don't know if we get there this high this year. I just don't think that's going to be the case. If it were to get to 2.5, I would definitely be looking towards Seattle buying to the 3. But I don't think the sharp shops, I don't think Pinnacle Chris is going to give us that opportunity this year. I really don't. And it makes it really tough. If we're looking at a 1 or 1.5 to get completely involved in this game based upon my power numbers.
Yeah, and I think it's an interesting point you bring up because I actually did speak to a couple of the bookmakers out there and they said they didn't want to create a scenario like last year where they allowed the professionals to buy the dog from 2.5 to 3. Of course, it didn't come into play with the Seahawks a year ago, but it invited money into the market that may have otherwise sat on the sidelines. And that's why I think you've seen a number of these books hold their positions at 1, as high as 1.5 at the win was available. You did have to lay $1.15, though, to take the 1.5. And when you look at the betting splits out there, 7 out of every 10 bets are on New England, and I can't really see that trend changing as we get closer to the weekend. We're about 65 to 70% of the betting handle, at least in the state of Nevada, maybe higher offshore, will come in, and that's when the public wants to get involved. There's nothing that's gone on the course of this week or the time building up to it to make me think that all of a sudden public sentiment will be on the Seahawks and those betting percentages will start to even out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with you. And this is the kind of a first year where we're not going to have that recreational bettor who's going to put $20 on this game and want to risk as little as possible to win a lot. You know, this is a pick'em line. So I think from an understanding point from the recreational bettor who might not be in tune with what a point spread is or thinks it's difficult to navigate, this is an easy go for them. This is a pick 'em. Just pick the winner. And you know, like you said, they're going to gravitate towards Tom Brady, Bill Belichick, and they're going to gravitate towards what they saw last. And that's the reason why I know a lot of people think the NFL market is extremely difficult. I find it to be one of my favorite sports to bet because the public has a say, because it's the one sport where the public can influence the market and not have pristine power numbered games, in my point of view. And this could be one of them. Like I said, I don't think it gets to 2.5 where we'd be able to buy to 3, and I would be on Seattle. But it'll be interesting to see. It will be interesting how this plays out. And for me right now, I don't love all the noise. This feels kind of like a legacy game for Belichick, for Brady. I know it wasn't the Seattle Seahawks who put potentially the locker room phrases or motivation on the wall. It seems to be the rest of the world with the Flategate. I don't really, as a Seattle backer, if I was to be inclined to look that way. I wouldn't want that motivation. So that really kind of takes me at this current number away from Seattle as well, that motivational us against the world mentality that the Patriots may have in that situation.
Well, we know that the motivational thing may be there, and of course the Patriots are definitely going to take that us against the world mentality for a lot of those reasons you outlined there. The next question when you're looking at Seattle, and we'll get into a little bit more on the total shortly, but how much stock do we put in the potential injuries to Earl Thomas and Richard Sherman? We knew they were nicked up coming out of the game against the Packers. There's been very little talk, at least in the mainstream media, about the health of these two individuals, but you talk to circles a lot closer to the players sometimes than most of the media folks. What have you heard about these two guys, and are we anticipating that both of them will be at 90 or nearly 100% for this one-game setting where they're going to put everything on the line, assuming Richard Sherman plays and doesn't elect to be there for the potential birth of his first child?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely important, and I think this is kind of the one thing in this new market where back in the day you could get a piece of information and wait till Sunday to bet it. Now we get all this new information, and the one positive is with this new information is being able to actually dig into what the percentage health is, because we see the market kind of react when, let's just say, Richard Sherman would be ruled out in this game or ruled to go in this game or really any of the market adjustments that we've seen. Knowing the actual percentage of his health is key, because, you know, once he gets in the lineup, it's a different line. But if he's 50%, 60%, you know, that's going to change this game dramatically. Earl Thomas, obviously separated shoulder. Sherman's battling the elbow injury. They're both going to play as a percentage of health without, you know, divulging too much. I think they're going to be close to 100%, so to speak. And we know kind of what they've been busted and rumored for in the past, so I would envision them playing fast, loose, and wild. I don't think the injuries are going to be a huge, huge factor for those two guys in this game, and I think that's going to play a huge role when you talk about these cornerbacks matched up on these wide receivers for both sides of the ball. And, you know, one injury that really hasn't been talked about, and we talk about how important it is, if you want to focus in and you are on the Patriots and you want to say Sherman and Thomas aren't going to be 100%, we talk about the center position for the Patriots and Brian Stork, and it looks like he's going to play, but how healthy is he going to be? So, you know, that's another factor to look at, is the center for the Patriots.
Yeah, so many different angles. And, of course, having the 2 weeks to dissect everything and anything relevant to this particular handicap. And as you mentioned, number looks pretty tight. We've talked about betting splits. We know the side that the house is most likely going to be rooting for unless something drastically changes. It'll definitely be Seattle. Now, fortunately for the house, or maybe unfortunately, depending on how you look at it, we have seen some money relatively sharp enter the market on the total. This number opened as high as 49. We're now looking at 47 as a consensus. Still some rogue 47.5 and even a 48 out there if you happen to go to a recreational book here in town. But when you break down the total, where do you start here thinking that we've seen how good Seattle's defense can be? We know teams aren't going to drive the length of the field, but the Patriots can make the claim that their defense may be one of the more underrated units we saw during the course of the NFL regular season and thus far through the postseason. Of course, the Ravens game maybe notwithstanding when they gave up 31 points to Joe Flacco and company.
Yeah, I mean, when you break this down and you really look at it from a market perspective, because that's what this is, you really have to, you can't understate the strength in this position. When you talk about a Super Bowl, when you talk about the recreational bettors that are going to be out in this game, that are going to be betting this game over, looking at how this game was bet, it's extremely strong when you talk about the under. Peaked as high as 49.5. You're now looking at 47. It's a huge move. It really is. When you're talking about guys willing to tip their hand, willing to come in at lesser limits, now they've obviously increased some, and they're continuing to bet this game, continuing to bet it down to 47, it's a huge move. Me personally, my number on this game was 44.5. So there is some value still in this total, but I think at this stage in the game, you're now talking Friday afternoon. Saturday and Sunday is when the public's going to be coming in betting this game over. If you've missed the boat, I don't think there's any harm in waiting. I don't think you're going to get a worse number as it stands. You know, we've talked about and explored different market positions, and, you know, we've talked, if you've listened to this podcast from week one, exploring the other angles, exploring first half angles, And, you know, without, you know, propping myself up, you know, 2 days after this line opened, I said, this game's going to get steamed under. And we went under 24.5 in the first half. You can still get 24s out there. They're a little juiced. But this is going to trend towards 23.5. We've seen it do that early this morning. And I think that's a decent angle to explore when you break down this game from a total perspective. Why I like looking at first halves. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, when we talk about the total, it definitely makes sense. When you talk about not wanting to jump on a burnt number at this point, knowing that the public will enter the market. But the interesting part is the first half angle that you alluded to, grabbing the 24.5, beating the market by a landslide there. Do we think the first half market will come up, or can we see a scenario where the full game total ticks up as high as 48 and books elect to hold their position and keep their, you know, foot in the sand and hold that 23.5 at sharper books? Of course, I think we'll see 24 start to pop at recreational shops, but has the ship potentially sailed on that key number of 24?
You know, 24 is so important when you're looking at this. You're looking at, obviously, Chris and Pinnacle. They're holding 23.5 right now. But when you look across the board, I still think the consensus number at the time of this podcast is 24. You're looking at the Greek 24 under 20, Cantor 24 under 15, Grande, Dimes, Bet Online, Jazz, wherever you're looking. You're looking at 24, and I think it's key, especially if you can get 115 to go now, get that 24. And I think that's definitely, you know, the way to look. And basically, when we approach these totals, you know, the market's changed dramatically. We've talked about this for years with baseball totals going first five innings, the market a little slower to react in that sense. And for me, when it comes to football games, college, NFL, for me, it's easier to break the game down because we know these teams come in with a game plan, and most likely they're going to be played to a pace that is true to their team. When you talk about a full game total, you're not necessarily sure of the pace because of how the game is. Meaning, if a team's down 14 points at the half, their second half game plan isn't going to be true to their pace, tempo. The first half is most of the time. And that's why I liked attacking it this way. Obviously, I don't want to throw out stupid stuff with trends that everybody's been inundated with this week, but when you really break down this game, we saw Russell Wilson threw a couple interceptions last week. They were bad. I think they get back to the ground and pound like they employed in the second half. This is a Seattle team that started slow. Even during their 10-week stretch where they've gone 9-1, they've got back to the ground and pound, but they have started these games slow. When you look at history, when you look at Brady and Belichick in the Super Bowl, they've started extremely slow. So I think that's the key here. One other tidbit, when you focus on some of these totals, we know the first quarter seems to be lower scoring. We have that championship fight, that heavyweight boxing fight where there's that initial feel-out process. Do we see that this year with familiar foes used to this big of a game environment? I'm not 100% sure. So that's one thing to look at. The other key thing here in the Super Bowl is we talk about the second quarter typically in NFL games, college games, being the highest scoring quarter. That hasn't been the case the last 16 Super Bowls. Second quarter has not been the highest scoring quarter. So I think that's another positive thing to look at here when you're talking about the first half.
Yeah, I think there's so many different things that come into play, and people look at it traditionally and go, oh, it's half of the full game number. You know, I'm going to have to dodge inevitable points in the two-minute drill late in the half. We know that prop price, roughly about minus 250, that there will be points scored there. But then on the flip side, you see lowest scoring quarter, that over-under set at 3.5, and there's good reason for it. A very likely scenario that these two teams, as you allude to, come out, feel it out like it's a heavyweight fight, and don't want to make that big mistake to allow that momentum to snowball, especially knowing how good these two defenses are, the talent in the secondary, and the ability that each has to kind of run the football. So I'm not going to argue one bit as far as that total is concerned. Now, before we close on the side and total and we get into the props portion of the podcast, you know, if you're looking to move on Seattle, New England, do you say you wait it out on New England? Do you wait it out on Seattle till closer to kickoff and maybe move on New England as we sit here on Friday? And then, of course, after you go through that, we'll discuss, you know, what our strongest position is for this game, side or total-wise.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're at an advantage if you have multiple sports books, as always. If you're looking to New England, I think you probably should have went, you know, a week ago. And if worst case, if you really, really love New England, you know, you go now at a pick 'em. I don't really see a reason, if you love Seattle, like Seattle, why you have bet it already, or, you know, why you're not waiting until game day to bet it. So that would be, you know, kind of my piece of advice if you're looking to bet a side in this game. As for the total, you know, at this stage in the game, I think you probably go, because 24 is that key number, that you go is as soon as possible. Full game total, not in love with it. If you were to bet the, if you had to bet the under full game in this, I would wait on that a little bit.
Yeah, and I think it makes a lot of sense. You talk about the various angles that are available to try and bet this. And, of course, people want to get their last football fix, but there isn't always a reason to run to the window. You'll have in-game wagering opportunities. And more importantly, some of the prop bets out there that'll provide some value added for any of the bettors. If you can't find an angle in the prop market, you're clearly not working hard enough.
There's no doubt about that. The one thing about the prop market, and we'll get into that a little bit, is being able to gauge your side. Have a strong feeling about a side, because most of your props will correlate to the side you like. You know, and some final words, I guess, final position. You know, I think the first half provides probably the best opportunity in going under that 24 at this stage in the game. So that's the way I would look right now.
With all the side and total analysis you guys wanted already at your disposal, it only made sense to switch gears and cover props with a comprehensive perspective. Of course, you know Payne Insider. You can follow him on Twitter at Payne Insider. You can follow me on Twitter as well at Todd Furman. And our special guest for the Super Bowl edition of the Bet the Board podcast probably needs no introduction for those folks savvy on social media. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. He is the marketing director and well-versed in all things offshore sports gambling. Dave, welcome for your maiden voyage aboard the Bet the Board podcast.
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Everything's great,
we're doing well, man. How's the action looking down there in Costa Rica? I mean, you guys all set and ready to roll?
Oh, yeah. It's better than ever, man. I was just looking at the action a little earlier. I mean, we're shaping up for our biggest Super Bowl ever, so everybody's really excited. You know, as long as the Seahawks pull through, we'll even be more excited. But no, action's great. It's coming in.
We know that the biggest thing these days seems to be props. They grow in popularity not only here in Vegas. I mean, as far as the professionals, the recreational bettors, everyone not only wants to talk about them, but they want to bet them as well. How big a part of your Super Bowl business have props become? Obviously, you know, betting percentage-wise, are we talking 60% straight bets, 30% totals, 10% props? Can you give our loyal listeners out there a pretty good indication of exactly how the breakdown looks for some of the different options available at your shop?
Yeah, sure. There's a difference between, are we talking bet tickets or are we talking money? So let's talk bet tickets first. Bet tickets, I mean, when you're taking the total number of tickets that are bet on the Super Bowl, whether it be the props, the spread, the total, money line, whatever, I mean, the props probably make up, I'd say 60% probably, maybe even a little bit more. Now, when you're talking money, that's going to drop down a lot because the bigger bets are on the spread and the total. So money's probably total money bet on the Super Bowl, but it's still going to be big. It's going to be about 25 to 30%, whereas a regular, you know, NFL game, you're talking, maybe 5%. So, you know, with all those extra props we're putting up and all the interest like you spoke about, I mean, there's a ton of action coming in on those props.
That's shocking to me that constitutes as that big of a percentage. Obviously, props are getting bigger and bigger right now. What is an interesting breakdown for me is when you talk your sharp players versus your casual bettors, which percentage typically bets into your props more? Is it your recreational bettor or is it your sharp bettor?
I mean, for the Super Bowl, again, the Super Bowl is a different animal than the regular season game. You know, let's take a Monday night football game or a Sunday night football game. You're talking the sharps are actually betting that more. You're getting a lot more sharp action than the public action. But these Super Bowl props, you know, there's just so many of them. And, you know, the PR around it and everybody wants money on every other play. The sharp money does drop down a bit. So it's probably, I'd say about the sharp action is probably about 15% of the money. Yeah, about 15%, we'd say.
Well, and you talk about props and the stuff that's out there. Obviously, you guys have a luxury of booking a good amount of entertainment-type props that cater to not only the media. I know your prop on Will Katy Perry Show Cleavage got quite a bit of traction through mainstream media, so definitely props for that in terms of the creativity. But when you're talking about the recreational bettor, I mean, what are some of the more popular props? Are we talking the traditional wagers, over-under yards for Tom Brady, you know, passing attempts for Russell Wilson, or if betting patterns kind of change, if they want to look for something a little more exotic, like maybe the first player to score, trying to catch that lightning in a bottle for a big payday rather than the more traditional 11 to 10 type action.
Yeah, as far as bet count, I mean, you got to figure out, too, that, you know, something like a player to score first touchdown, that's considered a prop, but there's also, what, 20 different options? So you're taking bets on 20 different sides there. So those, yeah, the MVP, if it's about, you know, amount of bets, you're probably talking like the MVP and player to score first touchdown are getting the most bets, the most action. But once again, that has to do with not only that there are so many options in addition to what you just said, that the payouts are so generous that people love those, you know, oh, Gronk at plus 700, I'm in, you know what I mean? So there's two factors there. There's so many options plus the big payouts that those are probably the most popular, the MVP, player to score first touchdown.
That's interesting to me. So some of the, like the novelty props, because we've talked to some other sports books, and one said they had four times the amount of bets on the coin toss betting heads than they did tails. I mean, those are obviously recreational type bets, ones that the house typically tends to love. So those are more your bets like that and prop bets. What other prop bets are typically your recreational player type prop bets?
Recreational, you name it. Recreational guys are betting everything. You know, everybody bets the coin toss. I mean, maybe not the sharps. Although I was told one of our sharp guys actually bet on heads. So I don't know. Maybe knows something we don't know. But no, everybody bets the coin. This is like a tradition. You know what I mean? You have to bet the coin toss for God's sakes. But now the recreational guys they're betting everything. They're the Katy Perry cleavage to player props. You know, to the MVP, to whatever. They're betting into everything.
Should know, Payne, that the NFC 15-2, winning the coin toss the last 17 Super Bowls. So you have to factor
that
into handicapping.
I heard the heads of the coin is a little heavier, and when you factor that indoors with the roof closed on a Sunday, it can tend to gravitate towards that a little bit also.
Because I guess that's where that sharp better's coming from. There you go. Got to change the odds, I guess. I don't know.
Exactly. You should know, I mean, having spent time with Payne extensively in the casinos in Las Vegas, for a guy who bets sports with such an edge, the amount of money he throws away at the roulette table is really mind-boggling, knowing he's given up over 5 cents every time the ball spins around. So I figured the coin toss would cater to him, and maybe he is the sharp better that you're referring to coming in on the head bet.
Maybe it's him.
Limit-sized wager there.
Well, you guys said go ahead, David.
Sorry, y'all. Speaking on limits, I mean, with us, Payne, you can bet as many times as you want because we have rebet functionality. So, you know, just wait for an odds change or 61 seconds and hit it again. So, you know, you can bet the coin toss for $1 million if you have $1 million in your account. Bring it on.
Well, and for folks looking to do that, unfamiliar with the voice on that other end of the line, he is Dave Mason from Bet Online. You can follow him on Twitter at Dave Mason BOL. You can follow Payne on Twitter at Payne Insider, and you can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. And while Payne asked you, Dave, about the type of prop bets that the recreational players gravitate towards, what are some of the prop bets that your long-term winners, your advantage customers, if you will, are looking to bet? As Payne has talked about before, you know, those guys oftentimes want to lay a price, and I think it's a foreign concept for the recreational bettor going, wait a second, you're going to lay $8 to make one that the game won't go to overtime? You know, what are some of the other prop bets that the pros are looking to try and get down on?
Right. They're looking at the player props. You know, they're the guys with props, where there's so much more factors, like the player props, you know, rushing yards by Russell Wilson or whatever. They stay away from the game props, like what comes first, field goal or, you know, touchdown or whatever. They're going with the stuff because all that stuff is pretty much set for us. That's, you know, you take the spread, the total, and you can come up with some of that stuff standardized. I mean, that's games from week one through the Super Bowl. A lot of that stuff is standardized. That's much more of an exact science, I guess, whereas, you know, some of the player stuff, you know, you're matching up a player against a defense, how that defense has been doing lately, how's the player do on grass as opposed to, you know, all those factors, and that's where the sharps kind of are so good, and they can find those little advantages You know, and especially with the Super Bowl, where you just offer so many players, and you know, every player and their receiving yards, their rushing yards, their first reception, their first rush, their blah 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 blah, and that just leaves you open for a lot of exposure to the sharps. So they're looking at those. They're also doing the novelties, you know, because you know we're kind of pulling those numbers. You know, we don't have any kind of algorithm or anything to tell us how if Katy Perry's going to show her cleavage or not. You know, we're just pulling a number out and going from there. And next thing you know, that's a true story. We had a sharp bet the yes at -500 the other day. Now it's up to, you know, the sharp money ran the number up to -700. I mean, we have more bets on no, but yes, is we got sharp money on, so we got to respect that
well,
money.
One of the things on those props, and then I know Payne had some other questions about how some of the creative process works as well. You know, what are the kind of limits that you guys will look to take on those, knowing that there is the realistic chance that folks are going to have perfect information? They're going to know exactly what Katy Perry is wearing. They're going to know exactly what her song set looks like. They're going to know the color of Gatorade on the sidelines. You know, how do you guys as a book try and limit your exposure? Because it's a different thought process. Those options obviously aren't available out here in Las Vegas, in the state of Nevada.
Right. Well, first of all, you know, whereas some of our props, we have a limit at, $1,000. We're not taking anything near that on some of these novelty props. Some of them are, you know, start out at $50 limits. So that's one thing. You know, you got to realize, I mean, a lot of these are for fun. Long term, we're probably losing money on these novelty props. These aren't, you know, paying the bills down here. They're more just to, you know, PR. People like them. People always had to bet on a Gatorade too, you know. There's something you have to, you know, kind of a necessary evil, I guess, just because the players love them so much and they do get your PR and attention and all that kind of stuff. But we're not making money off those. We expect to lose a little bit on those because of the stuff you said. You know, people, information comes out, and you know, a couple years ago, I forget who it was, you know, we had what was the first song sung by the halftime performer, and we had it up there, and then all of a sudden you're getting hit. And on one selection, and you know, the playlist got released, and so sometimes you put you know, something like that into the rules too. All bets that come in after public knowledge are no action or something like that. So you know, you can cover your ground, you're behind a little bit that way, and you just got to watch out for irregular batting patterns. Everybody's betting the purple on Gatorade. All of a sudden, okay, well, something's up. Let's lock it up. Do some research and see if there's information out there and go from there. But, you know, long story short, you got to expect, you're not putting those props up there to, you know, to make a lot of money. You got to expect to lose money. That's kind of, I'm more of in the marketing side of things. So, you know, when I'm talking to the risk management, you know, I just always got to, because they're looking at the numbers, you know what I mean? Where I'm trying to drill home, hey, but, you know, it's just, put this stuff up there. If we lose, take it out of the marketing budget or something like that. You know what I mean? So, you know, but no, we got a good team who's very receptive to that kind of stuff. So they give me a lot of leeway, and you know, once in a while they'll tell me my ideas are a miss, but whatever. I just keep firing stuff and see what sticks.
I think that's kind of the perfect example of. Information is power, and you know, we've talked about it a lot on this podcast, and you know, knowing and differentiating guys with power numbers and math guys and basically the guys with the information rule the roost. And kind of moving forward, we've talked about some of those props which you're responsible for making, some of them crazy, some of them obviously help the marketing. Is there any prop that maybe is just too wild that gets left out, or what potentially causes a prop not to hit the screen?
Let's see, stuff that offensive kind of stuff. Sometimes you think of something like this would be a good idea, and then you're like, well, you know, it might be a little offensive. You know what I mean? Like I was watching the news the other day, and the Aaron Hernandez trial is getting underway or is underway or whatever, and you're thinking, okay, he's played for the Patriots. Maybe there's something there. You know, is the deliberation of the deliberation of the jury versus tackles by so and you know the hours and deliberate the jury deliberates versus. Tom Brady passed me. There's something there, and then you think, well, no, you know, somebody. This is a pretty tragic event. We can't do that. So you know, stuff like that, and stuff that's kind of confusing too. Like you come up with good ideas, but it's, you don't want people to go into the weather channel station and trying to figure out what, you know, some kind of you know, wind gust versus the barometer pressure at kickoff versus, you know, Julian Edelman's reception. You know what I mean? It's like, well, how many of us are going to be able to know off the bat what the wind gust versus, you know, wind chill factor versus some, you know, crazy weather. It's great. It's clever, but how many people are going to get that right off? Like, oh yeah, I think Tom Brady can beat that. You know what I mean? It's so you got to think about that stuff too. And then, you know, you put something like that up, and then, you know, the people are going to be betting that are going to be probably advantaged guys who know the, you know, some kind of wacky weather thing in Arizona versus Tom Brady.
Barometric pressure is key.
No, it's, you know, we ran a contest on a forum, and we had a contest, and some guy came up with something like that, and it's a great idea. It's very clever, but I'm thinking to myself, you know, what the heck is the you know, it's like, I don't want to go to the weather.com to figure out what the heck that, you know what I mean? It's a clever idea, but probably over my head, you know what I mean?
Very, very important when it comes to baseball season.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah, we weren't allowed to be quite that creative at Caesars back in the day. So our general rule of thumb is if we thought we came up with a creative prop and it was hard enough for us to understand, it was going to create nothing but headaches for the player on the other side of the counter. So that kind of became the determining factor. And it goes along this other line of thinking, Dave. You know, when do you think we'll get to a point where there may be too many props, or that you just go, you know what, we've had enough. Our risk management team can only handle 1,000 props or 1,200 props. Do you think we're getting close that it's almost oversaturation of the market?
Well, you're asking a marketer here, so I say that we're never going to have enough. but, you know, talking for my risk management buddies, I mean, it is challenging. I mean, you know, there's so much stuff, and it's just, you know, I go on the site, or I see what the competition has. You know, I want to compare a price to what the competition has, and, you know, I'm on the competition site for 10 minutes looking for one prop, you know, so there is just so much out there. So, you know, you got to think, okay, when is it a little bit oversaturation? If we put up, you know, an extra 300, are we going to get that much more action, or is it going to cannibalize off the stuff that we know is going to get action? So from a risk management, yeah, I mean, what the magic number is, I don't know. I guess that depends on how good your risk management is, because like I said, you know, those bets come in and those sharps are licking their chops at the props that they really got to be on their toes, and you know, all the public action comes in, and you know, you gotta stay on top of the news. Some kind of, you know, Tom Brady has a sniffles, all of a sudden he has mono or something, and everybody's pounding the under on Tom Brady, so you got to be on top of that action too. So it's a lot to ask. So the more props you add, and the more props that are tied to Tom Brady, and now you got to get on top of all them. And when is it too much? Again, as a marketer, I don't think there's ever too much. But from risk management, I mean, you know, it's always going to be a huge part of the Super Bowl. So it's not like it's going to go down. And when you're, oh, there's not that many props this year because everybody's tired of them. It's, you know, we're going to keep crawling forward and keep going up a little bit more and a little bit more. And I guess it just depends on the sports book and the risk management team and how much they can handle and how creative they can be.
Yeah. You know, you talk about some of those props creating liability. Right now, as it stands, or something that you envision happening over the next 48 hours, is there a prop that you kind of made that's created liability for the house? Are you going to have a big rooting interest on, you know, one or maybe two or three props that you guys are absolutely going to need for the house to come out ahead?
And Dave, don't tell me no overtime, because we already know you guys are rooting against overtime, so that doesn't count as a valid answer for this particular question.
Right. Well, are there two or three props that we're going to be rooting against, or 200 or 300? I mean, not every prop has a, you know, like, it's just like the game spread and the total. 9 times out of 10, you're going to have a need. You know, you're going to have one part's going to be in red and the other part black. But you know, the biggest one right now is the safety. I mean, that's that's the second biggest now. The biggest is the first score of the game, field goal safety. Everybody's betting that. 90% of the bets aren't field goal or safety as the first score of the game, as opposed to touchdown. Everybody always bets that. The next biggest is the safety. So, I mean, the safety's tied in there, where, as everybody knows now, there's been a safety in 3 Super Bowls in a row. So, I mean, that price just keeps dropping every year. I think another 5 years, it might be a pick'em. Who knows? But 89% of the action's on there will be a safety. Todd already mentioned the overtime, so that's But first score of the game.
Consecutive scores. That seems to be a popular one with the public. They see plus money and that there'll be no, there won't be three scores in a row by the same team. I know, you know, from our standpoint, you know, sharp bettors typically will lay the price and recreational bettors will run to go no at plus money. This year might be a little different with the game being so close and the teams being so competitive.
Yeah, no, that's always one too. Absolutely. Probably, like you said, not as much as other Super Bowls, but you know, there's going to be a liability there too. And score the first game is always a huge liability on this year. The biggest is the Seahawks safety again. So I mean, like you think back to that first score last year. It was a triple hit in the shorts. You know, you had the Seahawks safety that paid out 51, and then you had the yes on a safety that's always one of the biggest popular bets, and the first score of the game field goal slash safety, which is always a huge public play. So that one play was just a tidal wave of public rejoice. You know, he just won big on that one, and we started the Super Bowl off like, oh my God, what's going on here? We had to claw our way back on the props, but that was a triple whammy right there.
It's always interesting to see how things start. And, you know, like you said, not only for the player, their decisions decide on every single play, but, you know, also for the house that people lose sight of. And no one's ever going to feel sympathy for the casino. But, Dave, before we let you go, and thank you very much for joining us. We know how busy your schedule is leading up to the big game on Sunday. Payne and I wouldn't be doing our jobs if we didn't quite ask you, you know, where's sharp action come in, side, total, first half potentially, and what do you guys think you're going to end up rooting for as you get closer to kickoff? You know, Sunday around 6 o'clock Eastern time.
Okay, well, let's see. The sharps, we saw most of our sharp action on the unders, the game under, under 49.5, under 48.5, under 48. So we took a lot of that sharp action early on that. We haven't seen a lot of sharp action yet on the side, to tell you the truth. We're thinking that it'll be on the Seahawks. But on the side, we haven't seen a lot of sharp action yet. We did see it very early when we had the Pats at plus 3. You know, when during the AFC Championship game, but you know those early spreads, the limit isn't that high. I think we had it at a dime, so you know we didn't get, there isn't a ton of sharp action on it, but we did see a little bit of sharp action on the Pats plus 3 very early on. As far as public, like I said earlier, we're gonna be Seahawks fans. It's looking like it is coming down a little bit, but about 70% of the total action on the spread is on the Patriots. And as usual, we'll be rooting for the under. About 65%, last I looked, was on the over. So yeah, the house will be rooting for the Seahawks and the under, it seems, and props, a bunch of props. I get too confused what we need on the props, but usually we need the under on the props and the minus money. So
you start to look at those balance sheets. But Dave, before I let you off the hot seat, Payne, you have any tough questions for our first guest ever in the history of the Bet the Board podcast on the Super Bowl Spectacular Edition?
No, I think we grilled him pretty good, and he came out looking pretty well. All right.
Dave, I can't thank you enough. Best of luck to you and your book this weekend. Payne, it's been one hell of a ride for our first season. Looking forward to bigger and better things potentially moving forward. And to all of our loyal listeners out there, thank you. You guys are the ones that made this worthwhile doing all season long. Your questions using the hashtag #BetTheBoard were invaluable in terms of changing our perspective and allowing us to provide more in-depth analysis. Remember, you can follow Payne on Twitter at PayneInsider. You can follow Dave Mason from betonline.ag at Dave Mason, B-O-L, and you can follow me on Twitter at Todd Furman. Best of luck to you for all of your prop bets, your straight bets, and anything else you may find yourselves getting into come Super Bowl Sunday. And this time next fall, we'll be seeing you at the window.